Where's Brother John Dan?
It seems a very long time since last we spoke together. And yet I suppose, in a sense, it is not so.
No, not really. It was in between the last one and the one before.
Yes. One has become accustomed to speaking at regular intervals.
Mm-hmm.
And though we have no time, as you understand it, yet we have a method by which we can, in a sense, be aware of it, particularly when we draw close unto the earth and enter into your thought vibrations, enter into your daily routine and interest. In some way, then, are we conscious of time. But this is, by its very nature, if one may say so, merely a passing thing. It has no effect upon us. As soon as we leave the earth vibration, we are outside of time, as you know it, and it has no meaning for us.
And yet, I suppose, you link with me daily.
That is so. I come to you
in
daily.
In a different way.
In a mental way.
Yes. And that doesn't entail so much effort on your part.
There are various methods, various ways in which we on this side can link and contact Earth. Indeed, it is possible, and oft times is necessary, that we should make a contact, not in a material sense, that is, by coming down to Earth and entering into material conditions, but purely on a mental plane. We ourselves may be far removed from the material world in which we exist, yet we are able, over what you would term in time or space, thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away, and yet we can open up our consciousness, and we can allow ourselves in a mental sense to transmit and to receive in return thought forces from you, and you to receive from us.
Very wonderful, isn't it?
The same as with your wireless, with your television, as you term it, that you can sit in a room and receive messages, you can listen to conversation, and you can see pictures, the things that are happening and transpiring at that very moment of time, hundreds and hundreds of miles away. So we can, in a fuller sense, wider sense, indeed a more expressive sense, do the same. A lot of people in your world who do not understand or do not believe this great truth, who find it impossible to accept, if only they would realize the wonder that happens in your own world of communication. Now you have the Russians who are landing instruments upon the moon, and they can be activated and can be in communication with Earth thousands upon thousands of miles away. All these things should, I would have thought, have illustrated to some extent the possibility and what we know to be the reality of communication between your world and ours.
You did say some years ago that you thought man would evolve some kind of instrument that would be able to link with you.
There are those in this world, scientifically minded, who when on Earth were scientifically inclined and in some instances well known as scientists, who are cooperating and working together here with the object and idea and intent and purpose of communication between our world and yours. And they are using, particularly in Russia, they are using certain scientists for experiments. Although it is not generally known, I think it is only right that I should say and tell you that there are scientists, Russian, who are interested in this subject, who are experimenting, and who are in, to some extent, communication, not perhaps quite in the spiritualistic sense, or perhaps should I say not necessarily with spiritualistic intents and purposes, or spiritually inclined or aware or conscious in that sense of which we would much prefer, but who purely on a material or psychic basis are endeavoring to make contact, and perhaps in a sense some of the things that they are doing may not be fully understood, and indeed have not been clarified, or even perhaps in some instances brought to the notice of the world. You see, the Russians are experimenting in many fields.
Yes.
One can only hope and pray that the discoveries that they make will be used for the betterment and for the good of mankind. But in the communication between our world and yours, if this, as we feel sure, shall eventually come into your world, when it can be scientifically proved on a very scientific basis, when we can be not only heard by the instruments that may be built, but we can also perhaps at the same time be seen in a similar manner to your television, This is something which we are anticipating and hoping, and certain scientists are working for towards that end.
I hope it'll have a good influence.
I'm confident that out of all this chaos that reigns in your world between peoples and nations, out of all this eventually will come tranquility and peace and understanding.
I get less out of love with the world, I don't mean people of course, but out of with the world every day.
Well, your world is in turmoil and travail for the simple reason that the world of human beings is such that it has created over generations of time the circumstances under which you now live and find yourselves. Everything more or less that happens to man, apart from nature itself, is what man has created. But even then, there have been disturbances within nature itself, which man has created by the letting off or letting out, as it were, of certain energies which are unnatural in themselves. Man has created certain weapons, explosive materials, which have disturbed the elements, which have disturbed the very world in which you live, to the extent that underneath the sea there are these repercussions, which has caused tragedy as recently as a few days ago.
Yes, I'm wondering.
This was due to disturbance created by man.
Good gracious. I wondered about that.
And of course, a lot has happened of which the world knows nothing generally. Nations, peoples in high places who have these experiments do not necessarily inform not only the world, not necessarily their own peoples.
Makes one feel one's a puppet.
I regret to say this, but it's so true. Man, to some extent, is creating for himself great havoc, great complication within nature itself. You cannot interfere with nature without nature itself, by the very nature, shall respond and react, and there will come in consequence dire distress. It may be earthquake, or it may be flooding. It may be in some other form. It may bring forth disease, a new problem among men. This recent tragedy, this was to a great extent man's creation. It was not of nature itself. You cannot disturb nature to the extent which nature has been and is being disturbed by atomic explosions, even though they are under the ground or in the seas. These are great disturbances which are unnatural, and in consequence eventually have reaction, and then you have some great flooding or tidal wave, or even in the air this can also react, and the weather's affected by it too.
I suppose this Max passing has put stress on your side as well.
Who's passing?
All this mass passing of people.
Yes, of course, untold thousands upon thousands of souls from this side are endeavouring to serve and to help these unfortunates. I don't think anyone in your world can ever realise what it means to us when such a great catastrophe takes place. Untold thousands of numbers of people coming here suddenly with no warning, in an unnatural manner. The distress is terrible, and the needs are so many. But there are untold thousands of souls from this side who are trained in that way, especially to help the less fortunate ones over, to give them an insight, to give them help, to carry them, as it were, through the first hours of distress, and calming and influencing them, and seeing that they are rehabilitated in a new environment over here, and where possible to make them realize that all is well. There are some, of course, who cling to earth and are earthbound, but no one, only we on this side and the people involved, can appreciate and understand what such a catastrophe can mean. This is something so enormous, it makes his description, you know.
You did ask me to ask questions. One lady wrote to me and she asked me, if I would ask you, how the animals are received and if a domestic animal could return to Earth again.
Well, I presume the lady in question, in reference to an animal's return to Earth, was not thinking from the point of view of the spirit or the coming back into the home, but rather possibly she was thinking of incarnation or reincarnation.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Well, of this I know nothing. I do not know of any animal that has reincarnated into the physical world of flesh again in another body. But of course animals do come back and see and take an interest in their master or mistress, and oft times spend many hours with them in the home which once had been for them a place of such happiness and joy, and they do spend a lot of time with their friends and peoples on earth.
And what about the animals as a whole? Are they received by a band again who devote themselves to the animal kingdom?
Yes, there are many, many souls on this side of life who make it part of their work to care for the animals, to tend them, to cherish them. But of course most animals, when they come here, have the natural instinct which man has lost over the centuries, whereas man has invariably lost the realization of the truth of life eternal, of the power of the spirit, of communication. Man has, through centuries of time, closed his eyes to the realities of these things. Animals, though they may not be in some senses as evolved or developed as human beings, yet they have an instinct. They have a realization within themselves, psychic if you wish to call it such, that they have no fear and no sort of doubts or no sort of peculiarities in their mental structure which affects them when they pass from your world to this. In other words, animals leave your world in a much more tranquil state quite often than human beings. There, some people might say more resigned, which is not the word which I would have used in the normal way, but there is within animals, particularly domestic animals, an understanding, there's an awareness. You see, when on earth animals are aware and conscious of things and of peoples even who are outside your world, who are of this world, who are of the spirit, animals see while in the body clairvoyantly. They are aware and conscious of entities and souls from our world who oft times try to communicate with peoples in your world that they've known and loved, and often enter into the domicile or the home, as it were, in attempt to communicate. The individual, the relation, the persons concerned may not see the apparition or may not be aware of the attempt at communication that is being made, but oft times a dog, for instance, will see, will know, will be aware of the entity that is endeavouring to communicate, that's endeavouring to come through and give a message of love. But you see, this is it, that animals have the awareness of psychic force and psychic power. They have the awareness of the spirit. They may not, in a sense, understand it when on earth to an extent that perhaps one might wish, but the point is that they are more prepared, in a sense, animals, for that which is to come than the average human being.
Yeah.
This is the extraordinary state of affairs. In spite of religion and in spite of the education the peoples have received in many different ways on earth, in spite of all the advantages of the human race, oft times the simplicity of the animal, living nearer to nature, being more sensitized to these things what are of the spirit, which are of, in a sense, the living, it is indeed the living force. Man has got away from the living realization of the power within himself. But animals, because they are less, as the world sees it, less advanced and not, in a sense, perhaps as material as man has become, the animals do not find often the difficulty in the transition that the human being does.
Mm. And could I ask another question? The ordinary animals in bulk, have they got a spiritual home of their own? I don't mean domesticated.
Well, the point is that there are many grades, there are many levels of consciousness, and I think that man, when he does think at all or understand these truths, cannot perceive that it is not necessary. Now this is something which may surprise, but it's very true, that while man retains outward shape and form for recognition, and may go through many, many, many phases of evolution before it is difficult. I mean, man may go through many evolutions of development before he can realize that it is possible to still retain one's self, still retain one's individuality, but not necessarily to have shape or form. This is a very high advanced state of being. But you see, there are such things as mass souls. Now, this is very difficult to explain. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But the point is that on certain levels of consciousness, animals lose identity. They do not necessarily retain shape or form. And certain animals, certainly, who have not evolved or developed to the extent that the domestic, shall we say, animal has, do to some extent lose. For instance, I wouldn't have you imagine that there are whole vast plains where elephants, for instance, just roam. I do not suggest by this that there are not replica of elephant, there are not replica of other animals.
Mm.
But these are not in themselves individual. Now, I don't know how to explain this.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to tell you is that the domestic animal, the animal that has been very close to man, that has been loved and been cherished, that is to some extent evolved, this retains its personality and retains its shape and form. But then again, it's very important to realize that though it is to man an important factor that he should remain an individual, in the higher evolution of all life, as one progresses in aeons and aeons and aeons, no doubt, of time, and one begins to learn and to understand the tremendous realizations and the possibilities of life here, it is feasible, and indeed I know it is true, that it is not necessary to have shape or form, but one may assume it if one wishes,
I see,
for some special purpose or reason.
Mm.
You see, man has built up this idea that he must have certain aspects of self which are essential and necessary, which are, it is true, under certain conditions, is essential. But man is more than shape and form. He is spirit. Mm. He is eternal, universal spirit. He is part of the great cosmic force of all life, and he is a minute part of the whole. And when man can lose self, lose sense of self, and allow himself to become merged into the great cosmic whole, when he realizes that he himself is expressing aspects of the greater world, the greater mentalities, the greater realizations of truth, whatever one may receive in your world, whatever one may become in your world, important, tremendous, vast in its expression, it is but a minute particle of the reality, of the complete. This is very difficult to explain, but all I can say is that there is every opportunity for every soul to evolve and to develop and to become. But no matter how much you may develop, how much you may evolve, how much you may become, there is still so much more to learn, to explore, that in a sense it is so immense that one feels in the wonderment of it all, in the reality of it all, in a sense insignificance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the joy, and this is what makes eternal life a reality. There is never anyone that I have ever known who professes or claims to have all knowledge, all truth. We have particles, we have aspects, we are all, as it were, climbing step by step to greater realization. And if we can see ourselves in that light and see that we are ever ascending and climbing into eternal light, that no matter how much we may feel, may know, may be able to express, even so, in comparison to the great full, if one can use the expression, reality of all truth, that which we know, important though it is very small in comparison to the complete. We must never lose sight of the fact that we are all learning, we are all gradually evolving to a great awareness. And when we reach to a certain point and look back and realize what we have gained in knowledge and experience, though we have come a long way, there is much, much, much further to go. And that we should always go on learning, finding out, discovering. This is the joy of eternal life, the realization that there's always fresh fields to conquer, great discoveries to be made, greater parts of experience to be gained. Nothing stands still. All life is movement and change. When one realizes this, one begins to perceive the immensity and the reality of the world of spirit and all that it entails.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is lost, child.
Thank you.
You know, give my blessings and love to all who listen to the voice of spirit, and I hope in some measure I may have guided and helped and instructed. But there's so much I wish yet to convey.
Yes.
But this shall be done. My love and my blessing to you, child.
Farewell. God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey dear.
Poor dear, old dear. He loves talk, don't he?
Good, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
But it could explain some things, though.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
God bless, dear.